You are listening to Engaging and Exciting Conversation on the Radiant Culture Podcast.
Get ready.
Now.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Radiant Culture Podcast. It's your host, Mr. Kent. I'm riding solo today, as my other co-hosts are not with me because I am all the way in Shamva at Hipples Pool, and I'm joined by Gordon. How are you doing, Gordon?
Hi, Keith. No, well, thanks.
Great, great. Gordon's got a wealth of experience in nature. He's a Christian. He loves God and he loves what he does. And I've really enjoyed him taking us through the experience. He was our guide throughout this weekend. We had a man's camp at our church, Kingdom People Church, and we've just had a wonderful experience. And I thought it would be good just to catch Gordon on our podcast and just get to know more about what he does, what he's passionate about, and the nature out here. I think it's a wonderful experience. You guys should come out here. But yeah, let's kick it off. Tell us about yourself, Gordon. Who you are, what you actually do.
Sure. I'm a wildlife person. My passion has been for nature since I was a small child in northern Zambia. I grew up in a very wild place. Had parents who loved the outdoors. Camping, hunting, fishing, and that just fired up my interest in God's creation with such a passion that it's like it's just my whole life almost. Nice. And this led to my heart's desire to obtain a career in this field, and my ultimate choice was to become a game ranger or a game warden. And by God's grace, I realized that dream. I've spent 20 years as a game warden in national parks.
Wow.
And got to see the best of Zimbabwe's wilderness and magnificent places. But the journey took me, time spent in God's creation, I had no difficulty seeing that there was a divine power, a higher being, a God behind this beautiful behind nature. I just didn't know who he was, how to relate to him. And my journey took me through a process where I encountered Christ.
Wow.
In 1979, and gave my heart to him. And that opened my eyes to who really was the God of nature.
Wow.
And that is God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's from there, it's just been like a massive expansion. I see him everywhere, and to me, a trip into deep wilderness, the more remote, we can almost define wilderness these days, a place where the cell phone doesn't work. I don't know how long that'll last, but the deeper the wilderness, the more natural, the more it feels like I'm in an open-air cathedral in the presence of God.
Nice.
I see his radiance, I see his glory reflected in what he has made. And the more I study what he's made, the more I see the evidence of his design, his wisdom, his passion, his care in what he's done.
Yeah.
And appreciate that he put man at the pinnacle of this.
Wow.
What is man that you are mindful of him? Psalm 8 says, and the son of man that you care for him. And it's an incredible question when you consider God doesn't exist in the universe. He exists outside of it.
Yeah.
He measures it with the breadth of his hand. He sets the stars in place, etc. So we serve an incredible God. And God has two books. He has the written book, revelation of himself in the Bible, written with ink on paper. But he has another book, and that is his nature, his creation, what we call nature. And that's the book that everyone reads.
Yes.
Doesn't matter what culture, how remote, how far, never heard of Jesus. Everyone gets to read that book, and there is a message coming through creation that tells us about God. And that's what I like to help people see, because these days people are struggling to see God as creator behind the creation, particularly with the thrust in atheistic evolutionary teachings that try and say there's no God behind this. Yeah, so that's a little bit of my sort of background. And we own a game farm. I'm a professional guide. My wife is. My daughters are training as guides. So we live in this environment.
Nice. Yeah. You've pretty much grown up in this kind of environment, haven't you? Nice. Yeah. What's the name of your game park?
Okay, so our game park is called Ballyvaughan. And we have a lodge called Mwanga Lodge.
Nice.
It's only 40 kilometers from Harare. It's a beautiful retreat in whaleback granite formations. We've preserved through Debbie's family. My wife, God's piece of God's creation. It's beautiful. We have a variety of wild animals. And it's a refreshing place to come to. So that's another aspect of I believe God designed that even though the creation is in a fallen state, it's not the paradise it was first created to be, there is still an afterglow of that glory. Is something there that still nurtures man deep inside. If we open to it, look at the beauty like behind us, this beautiful Mazoe River at Hippo Pools with the huge riverine forest, big trees, beautiful water, birds flying up and down, cormorants. It's a scene of peace, and it does something deep down inside it. Psalm 23, Jesus, it says that the shepherd makes us lie down in green pastures, and he leads us beside still waters. God uses this picture of being refreshed in creation. And it's there in the most popular verse in the Bible.
Yes.
Chapter 23 of the Psalms.
Yes. Nice. Yeah, my son's been through to Ballyvaughan, and he absolutely loved it.
Oh, great.
I still need to come through myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, great.
But, yeah, Gordon, this is very interesting. And I guess for a lot of us, we are usually stuck in our 9-to-5s in the city. The business of the city, the concrete jungle.
Yes.
And we never get to see the side of things often unless you're a freaking camper or someone who likes to go out into the safari. But tell us, how have you personally experienced God? Just give us a few examples of how you've experienced God through nature and how God has spoken to you. What's been your experience throughout these years?
There have been many experiences. Wow. I was in Gonna Resort in April this year. And like I say, the deeper you get into wilderness, the more you see of what we're talking about in this interview. We were camping at a place called Shlaro Camp, which is near Cholocho Cliffs, far away from any form of ambient city light.
Wow.
Deep wilderness, no moon. And the stars out at night were so bright, so many. The Milky Way stretched above us that you just looked up at the night sky and your jaw dropped at the magnificence of the starry universe around us that Psalm 19 tells us declares the glory of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. You don't hear words, but you see it, an invisible message.
Wow.
And it is. I was with some non-Christians, and even they, I could see their jaws were dropping. There's this testimony from creation. God has personally spoken to me in a crisis using the Southern Cross.
Wow.
It's an amazing thing to consider that, you know. So Isaiah 40 says that God sets the stars in place and he counts them, he numbers them, he gives them names.
Yeah.
We can't number the stars with our supercomputers. It would take about 1 million years for the fastest computer on earth to try and number each of one of the current estimate of 2 trillion stars. And that number is going to change radically with the James Webb telescope up there seeing new dimensions of the universe. So the heavens declare his glory. And the fact that God puts a constellation that's in the shape of a cross.
Yes.
Come on, if we can't see the link, then we're blind.
We're blind. Yeah.
I mean, our Savior died on a cross and changed the course of history for man, opened the door back to a relationship with the Father.
Yeah.
And he puts a cross on this guy.
Yes.
And it's a special cross because it indicates one of the cardinal points of the compass. It indicates south.
Yeah.
If you've got south, you've got everything else. North, east, west.
Yeah.
And I've used it to find my way in the dark.
Wow.
And God has spoken to me through the cross. Another scripture, be still and know that I am God.
Mm.
It's something we ought to practice, especially on a visit into the wild.
Uh-huh.
Just shut down all our anxieties, our thoughts, our worries, our concerns. Tune in to the silence the bird calls.
Yeah.
Listen to the wind. And you begin to feel some kind of ministry taking place because God operates in that dimension. Mother Teresa said that creation operates in silence. The stars and the planets, everything moves in silence before its creator.
Wow.
It's us. We get so busy, we don't have time to listen.
Wow.
And city life, unfortunately, sets the stage for man to lose this entire dimension. So there's seldom ever a moment of silence in a city. And I'm taken by the impact of they're going to play music to you in a lift. You get in a car, there's music. You're surrounded by noise. Yeah. There's people talking to you. There is no more silence in our world.
Yeah.
And we're being robbed.
Wow. Yeah. One of the things, there's something profound that you taught us yesterday during the walk. We took a walk into the wilderness, and I'd never really, grasped that scripture about those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength and fly like eagles. I always used to wonder why.
The connection.
The analogy, the connection.
Yes.
But the way you explained it yesterday was like an aha moment. I was like, wow. But you never get to know these things unless you're in the wilderness and you get to relate to some of these analogies that God uses. Tell us a bit more about that, the way you explained it yesterday.
We forget that the author of the scriptures is the very same author of creation.
Mm.
And so God wastes no time in drawing connections and using creation to illustrate.
Yeah.
Jesus made many references to creation. He says, why do you worry? Why do you toil? And he made references to flowers being beautifully adorned compared to even to Solomon with all his fine garments, and birds having food without resorting to storing in a barn or a bank or whatever.
Yes.
So Isaiah 40 projects a powerful illustration. It has halfway through a challenge. Who is like me?
Mm.
He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. Man looks like so tiny. But then it finishes with the challenge. Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. Mm. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. And unless we understand eagles, that doesn't make a lot of sense.
Exactly.
So yesterday on our walk, we were walking through this lovely riparian forest along the Mazoe River. And we started off before the morning thermals.
Yes.
And I said, look at the sky. There's no eagles. Why? Because there's plenty around.
Exactly, yeah.
And the reason is linked to Isaiah 40, those who wait upon the Lord. So the eagle spends the night on a perch, a big tree. And an eagle is a glider. So is the vulture, the gondor, goro. And then he waits. He doesn't use his energy to power himself around. He waits for the wind and the morning thermal, which is between 8 and 9 o'clock, heats up dry areas of the ground, bare areas, and creates thermals. And the eagle will detect that after waiting in the morning, and then he just takes a little bit of a short flight, flaps into it, picks it up, and up he goes. And the eagles can travel hundreds, vultures, thousands of kilometers.
Wow.
And there's no energy required. It's just detecting which way the wind is moving.
Yeah.
And so scripture uses this illustration.
Yeah.
Says, instead of trying to make things happen yourself,
says
we wait upon God and we detect the wind, the move of the Spirit of God. Spirit. And that is our cue to get in to that move. Get in there and catch it.
And catch it, yeah.
And God gives us a lift. And as the scripture says, you know, the eagle never knows what it's like to climb laboriously up a gormo in the heat or high mountain. He just catches the thermal and he flies over it.
Mm.
So it's a magnificent illustration.
Wow. Yeah.
The eagle doesn't know what it's like to be tired and worn out.
Exactly.
Because he's just a glider.
Nice.
And it was interesting on the walk that at 9 o'clock, as if on cue.
On cue. I remember a that.
A beautiful battle eagle came flying past us as he just left his perch. Yeah.
Wow. So you run these safari camps. And you mentioned interestingly that you now have retreats and camps that you organize, some for men and others, and you interestingly combine preaching of the gospel, discipleship, fellowship into these camps. Mm. Tell us a bit more about these camps that you run.
Yes, so my wife Debbie and I, as professional guides, one of us left national parks, went into the safari industry, as in the photographic industry.
Okay.
We're working in these magnificent places with clients, a lot of them from overseas, seeing incredible sights and experiences. And we thought, how can we bring this to the church? How can we make this available and combine it with the missing dimension? And that is an interpretation of the God behind the environment that we're exploring and enjoying. And so we came up with the concept of holding a, in this case, a men's retreat at Manapouls National Park, somewhere in a deep wilderness, and combining an aspect of adventure, game viewing, walks, etc., with specific ministry for men. We've done that for 15 years, and it's had a huge impact. Wow. Guys, highly rate their experience, and we've witnessed that God moves in these camps, because it's not about us.
Yeah,
it was His. God birthed this thing. He gave us the vision to do it, and there's so much scope for Christians to move into this arena, this field, and especially those that have a knowledge of God's creation and can help people see, because we've reached a stage where, sadly, the airwaves, social media, just about any scientist or any specialist who speaks on the natural world will make reference to evolution.
Evolution, yeah.
Which is denying the one who made it.
Exactly.
And it's not because there's a lack of evidence of the Creator. There is an abundance of evidence, but there is almost like this crusade to attribute it to nothing, to chance, to natural selection, etc. And it's not the truth. Romans 1 tells us that everything there is to know about God has been plainly revealed through His creation, including His divine nature, His eternal power. So man is without excuse.
Exactly.
Even taking on board I'm afraid it's a lie that there is no God behind nature or the universe. Yeah. It's a lie. It's actually not true, and one day we'll encounter the Creator who made it.
Himself. Yeah, interesting. And one of the things that I found quite interesting, like just before we set out for the talk, you gave us some guidelines, and just brief explanation of how to interact with nature, with the wild. I guess a lot of people don't really want to come out here, because especially when you talk about Manapouls and you're saying you're running camps there, and the stories people have heard about Manapouls, that, you know, animals, the wild, are just roaming around freely, there's a bit of fear that comes into people. So they're like, no, we're not going to do that. But I found it interesting how you quickly explained how, as people were given dominion and God, how God has placed the fear of man into animals. Can you explain a bit more about our interaction with the wild, and just demystifying a lot of things that a lot of people who don't have experience in the wild would kind of feel fearful and just stay away from the wild?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's a good point. And the fear is based largely on ignorance. People don't understand how things work in the wild.
Yeah.
I would be in a similar position if someone was to take me and just drop me in New York City.
Yeah.
I would not be comfortable in that environment. at all. I would be concerned about the gangs, the getting lost. I don't know how to navigate in a city. I'm hopeless. Underground. I don't even know how to use an underground train. I would find that environment very intimidating because of my complete lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
I'm not streetwise.
Yeah.
And it's the same principle in the bush. Mm. When one doesn't understand the principles that govern the bush, then one is fearful.
Yes.
But there are guidelines.
Yes.
And as you pointed out, God intended man to rule his creation. He gave that mandate to Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 1. He said, have rule, rule over creation and dominion. Now, we can't rule over something we haven't any idea how it functions, what it works, how it works. So ruling implies a knowledge and a wisdom about the very thing you're trying to be steward of.
Yes.
So we need that knowledge. And back to sort of safety aspects, it's the first consideration people have when they come to the bush is, how will I be safe?
Yeah.
And there are simple guidelines. So first of all, we need to understand that animals are not out to attack people because God placed fear of man into the animals in Genesis 9.
Yeah.
God said that he placed that fear, and we work with that fear when we're in the bush. Mm-hmm. We can use a different term, respect.
Respect, yeah.
Animals naturally respect man, and in Psalm 8 we read that God gave man dominion over the earth. He made him a little lower than the angels, but crowned him with glory and honor. And made him ruler over the works of his hands.
Yeah.
Now, where are we? Why have we lost this concept? Why are we fearful of the thing we're given dominion over?
That's a good point.
And that's the work of the devil.
Yeah.
And yes, we don't see that we have this complete authority, but if we go to Hebrews chapter 2, we see Jesus in the same reference to Psalm 8. Being the one made a little lower than angels, but given dominion and glory and honor. And he becomes the first one to fully inherit that status. And then he passes it on, bringing many sons to glory. So sons and daughters, if we're a Christian, we have as an inheritance this very dominion that God has given us. And yes, it has to be exercised with wisdom, but it's there. And so with that mindset, we can come into God's creation and nature confidently. We're not coming here to get chewed up. We're coming here to enjoy.
Exactly.
And then just general guidelines. You know, with wild animals, anywhere in the world, the basic principle is don't startle it. Mm-hmm. Don't surprise it. Because it has its own set of self-preservation rules. And when one surprises a wild animal, it thinks the worst of that surprise. It thinks maybe you intend to harm the animal. So it's pushed into a fight or flight decision quickly.
Quickly, yeah.
And if it's an impala, it's fine. It runs. But if it's a buffalo, it's a different story.
Yeah.
He's not used to running from most things. So when we understand the relationship and we treat these creatures with respect and give them their space, understand they have various, there's three basic circles of awareness or reaction that we can't push those boundaries. Yeah. Give them their space, back off if we invade the space, etc. And then little things like going even into a lodge in the bush, you don't just put your clothes on out of your suitcase or off the shelf because spiders and scorpions are attracted to the lights, and they look for a nice place to sleep before dawn.
Yeah.
Could be in your shirt or your jacket or your shoes. So the little bit of wisdom you learned is shake your clothing out before putting it on. You shake your shoe to make sure there's no occupant. And you avoid things like scorpion stings, etc. I will pull the sheets back on my bed in the lodge even and look to see there's no scorpion in there. Because he might have decided that that's a nice place to park for the night. I've looked thousands of times, and maybe one time you might see one. But it's just being attuned in to your environment. And snakes, you know, people are fearful of snakes, that there's a snake around every corner. The snakes, whilst they were used by the evil one as a vehicle to deceive Adam and Eve, they're still a harmless animal. And God looked back upon the creation of snakes in the beginning and said they were good.
Yes.
strangely enough, and they're still, most snakes are harmless.
Yeah.
There are a few that are bad, and they are fortunately uncommon. They're not, if we were to go out and look for snakes, we would see most of the few we find, because they're not everywhere. They're hard to find.
Yeah.
Are either not dangerous or mildly venomous and not dangerous to man. And the odd ones that are very dangerous, you don't often see those. But there's a way to handle them, and that's give them their space.
Yeah.
Back off from them. Don't try and kill it.
Mm.
Golden rule in a wild place at night, even Kumusha, is don't walk around without shoes at night, because exactly. That's when snakes are active.
Yeah.
People step on them. They get bitten.
Uh-huh.
If you do walk around with sandals or something, then take a torch and see where you're putting your feet.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you can't walk on a snake.
Yeah.
Rainy season's much higher risk, because the burrowing snakes are forced out of the ground by heavy rainfall.
Yeah.
And there are one or two of those that are got a nasty bite, but they only bite when they're stood on.
Mm-hmm.
So if you see where you're walking or you put closed shoes on, yeah, there's no need to be bitten.
Yeah.
So there are many things one can do to make one's visit to the wild enjoyable, safe, and then of course you come away with this sense of having been exposed to a Garden of Eden type experience, where you met with our Creator and have been refreshed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's it. That's all we have for today. Thank you so much, Gordon. It's been lovely having a chat
Great.
With you. And I hope our listeners are going to venture out into the wild a little bit more often, because it's really, really refreshing. You get to discover a lot about God that you probably are not exposed to in the city and everything. But thank you very much for taking this time to be on our podcast.
Thanks for letting us be part of it. Yeah.
Great. Thank you very much.
Okay. Cheers.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Radiant Culture Podcast. If you want to make a contribution, make a suggestion, or have a request, you can get in touch with us via email on radiant@thehub.co.zw or inbox us on Facebook and Twitter. Look out for the next episode, and remember to share this one with everybody you know. God bless.
It's hot, it's fresh, it's uncut. #RealTalk on the Radiant Culture Podcast.